What does it mean to follow Jesus in faith? Well, in part, it means this. It means that we live with complete dependence on God. In our short gospel reading, Jesus provides two different examples, one negative and one positive, of what it looks like for us to depend on God. In the first example, Jesus warns against the scribes, because the scribes exploited faith for personal gain. This is the way Jesus describes their lives. He says, the scribes love to walk around in long robes, and he's not simply talking about the length of whatever they choose to wear, but the fact that these long robes were a sign of honor. They're like the PhD robes that are worn at graduation time, scholars' robes meant to draw attention to themselves. And these scribes love greetings in the marketplaces. In the sense, it's not really of just a friendly, hi, hello, how are you, but a long, flowing greeting that again draws attention to your status and your importance as a teacher. Jesus says they loved the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts. That probably takes no commentary. Jesus says they devour widows' homes. Several other Jewish historians record how the scribes and the teachers of the law would prey on the hospitality of widows and exploit them and manipulate them out of their wealth. And Jesus says, for a pretense, they would make long prayers. Prayers long on words and short on faith. Prayers spoken to make themselves look good, not really arising out of a devotion to God. They used and they abused faith for their own personal gain. Well, in the early days of the church, Christianity was a small, persecuted sect. Following Jesus required daily dependence on God in the face of constant hostility and sometimes the threat of death. And yet, in the face of all of this pressure and hostility and persecution, the early church thrived and grew as they lived in a dependence on God. Grew into the point at which in 312 AD, the Emperor Constantine converted and became Christian. Momentous occasion for the church. Things changed incredibly. It was an incredible blessing for those Christians who had for so often, so long lived in fear of their lives. Now they were the established religion and it was safe to be a Christian and it was a good thing for them. But the flip side, the other side of that coin, was now all sorts of people flooded into the church, not because they were interested in Jesus or faith or grace, but they came because now the church was the place to build yourself up and to gain status in your social standing and political power and wealth. They were exploiting the church for their own personal gain. And that is a legacy that has followed the church throughout its history in the West. People who come into the church not to find Jesus, but to exploit faith for their own gain. And even now, as the church is losing some influence in society, still, we sometimes come for our own personal earthly gain rather than seeking Jesus. Sometimes we come because we want to gather with our own little group of friends, and we come because we want to sing the songs we like to sing, and we come because we want to have a good moral upbringing for our kids. And none of those things are bad in and of themselves. In fact, they're good things. But the problem comes when we begin to think of ourselves as spiritual consumers, and the church as a producer of spiritual goods and services. And our relationship to the church is, so as long as the church is producing the things that we like and we want and fit our needs, then we're happy. And if it doesn't, then we're going to leave and go down the street to the next place that will provide for those goods and services. And we exploit faith for our own personal gain. Instead of seeing the church as the people of God, who recognize that they are dependent upon Christ for their life and their salvation and their forgiveness, and who need to come together to worship Him, and who need to come together to gather together with these other brothers and sisters in Christ who will support them in this walk of faith, and who gather together to sing their praises to Him. That's what the church is meant to be. See, Jesus didn't come to earth for His own benefit. Jesus came to serve in love. The Bible says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. There was no benefit to Jesus in coming to earth. There was no benefit for Jesus in going to the cross and suffering the way He did. There was no benefit to Jesus in being killed and laid in the tomb. There's no benefit for Him. He did it for us. He did it so that He might open up the way for you and I to come back into this relationship with our Heavenly Father. He served us. He cared for us. He provided for us the things that we couldn't get on our own. We're dependent on Him. And now, because Jesus has provided everything that we need, He calls on us from that place of trust and dependence and security in Him. He calls us now to go out and to serve others. See, faith for us is not about doing things and earning things and achieving things as if we need to use faith in order to earn our salvation. It's already been given to us. It's already taken care of. It's already covered. And so our faith is not about doing for us, earning for us. We're covered. But instead, our faith is about going out and serving others in love the way Jesus has served us and cared for us. I mean, the world is full of examples of businessmen and politicians who use everything they can to exploit others for their gain. You and I as Christians, we're set free from all of that because we're covered in Christ. And so Jesus calls us, sets us free to serve others in love. So let's shift now to our second story. After teaching and warning against the scribes, Jesus goes over and He sits down in the temple, the place opposite from where they're collecting the offerings. And as He's sitting there, He sees a number of people coming in and placing their offerings in. And He sees a number of rich people who come in and put in great sums of money. And then He sees a poor widow come in who puts in 2 copper coins worth about a penny. And Jesus says, this widow has put in more than all of the others because the widow gave all she had. The rich gave out of their abundance. And the widow gives out of her poverty and out of her place of dependence. When I was in college, the western edge of campus was a street called Guadalupe. It's also known as the Drag. It was the place, the closest you could get to the campus where businesses could operate. And so that's where all the bookstores were. That's where all the fast food joints were. That's where kids would go when they need to go buy something, get something to eat. And I can remember a number of times when I was walking down that drag. I should mention, too, Austin has a significant homeless population. I can remember walking along that drag and seeing some other college students ahead of me going off to do whatever they were going to do. Just to the further beyond that drag was the wealthy area where all of the rich kids lived because it was close and convenient. And I can remember seeing a number of kids, a number of different times I saw this, a student who would walking along would reach into their pocket, pull out some change, and give it to one of those homeless who was sitting there on the concrete. Now, I can't judge too completely. I can't tell what was going on in their hearts, but judging from the body language, they were giving out of a disdain because they never broke stride and they never made eye contact with the person they were giving to. Giving a little bit out of their abundance, out of their excess, maybe to soothe their conscience as they made their way to their nice plush apartment, but not out of any concern for those who were homeless. But if we want to be truthfully and brutally honest, I can't judge You see, I never gave out of disdain, out of my excess, because I was too busy holding on to the little that I had and trying to keep my head above water as a college student. The widow didn't give out of her abundance. She didn't give out of disdain. She gave out of her heart, out of a complete and total dependence on God. It's really remarkable that the picture of generosity that Jesus speaks, that's been handed down throughout the generations, is not a gift of vast sums of wealth. It's a gift that measures a single penny. You see, in the kingdom of God, the worth of a gift is not valued in dollars and cents, but it's valued in terms of the heart with which it's given. And this widow, who is living in complete dependence on God, gives her gift out of the heart. She gives all she has. But really, this gift should not seem so extraordinary to us. You see, we depend on God for all that we have. The essence of our faith is that we recognize that we have sinned and we are separated from God. The essence of our faith is we recognize we have done things that have hurt our relationship with God, that we have hurt our relationship with others, that we have hurt our relationship with ourselves. And the end result of all of this sin is that you and I are headed for an eternal death. That's what our actions have earned us. And the truth of the matter is that there is nothing that you or I can do that is ever going to earn our way out of that. The heart and the center of our faith is the realization that we are dependent upon Jesus for our salvation. We are dependent upon God for our eternal life. Only through Him, only through His action on the cross, do we have any other hope than this death and destruction that we've earned for ourselves. We are completely and totally dependent upon God for our eternal life. That's the essence of our faith. And if we as Christians are willing to be dependent upon God for our eternal life, then shouldn't we also be willing to be dependent upon God for our earthly life? Shouldn't we be willing to trust Him with what we have? To trust Him with what's going to come to us in this life, this temporary, short, transitory life of 70 or 80 years? Shouldn't we be willing to trust Him with all of our time and all of our talent and all of our treasure? And yet we struggle with that immensely, don't we? Even as we realize that we're dependent upon God for our salvation and our faith, still we struggle with being dependent upon Him in this life. And the things that we have, we want to hold on to tightly to try and make sure we can make it through. It's a tough thing. It is an incredible struggle. That's why Scripture makes it clear that even faith is a gift of God. On our own, you and I could not let go of ourselves and trust in Christ. But God sends His Holy Spirit to come down and make His home in our hearts. And God sends His Holy Spirit to create faith in us, to allow us to have that strength to let go of those things and instead rest and receive the mercy of God. Faith is a gift of God, and faith is God working in us to allow us to trust in Him and to rely on Him and to believe in Him. God gives us the faith to be dependent upon Him, even when we're afraid and we're still trying to cling to those things. What does it mean to follow Jesus in faith? It means we don't try to exploit our faith for our own benefit, but that we serve others in love. It means that we don't give just out of our excess, but that we give out of our poverty. It means that we live in complete dependence on Him for everything in this life and in the life to come. May God give you the gift of faith. May God strengthen that gift of faith in you so that you can depend on Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.